Since 1900, humans have multiplied from about a billion total to almost 8 billion. With international borders trembling and the stakes of conflict so high, the need for mutual acceptance and working together is the highest it's ever been. But how many of us have ever even interacted with a Russian, a Chinese, or an Arab? How many know five words of those languages, or can pronounce it even as written? In places where I can't even pronounce what it says on large signs, I feel vulnerable and fear for our world's lack of commonality. But seeing the people themselves reminds me that all humans are cousins, distant, of course, but with common ancestors. Modern tech has opened the door to real-time voice-to-voice translation programs. Anybody remember pen pals? I am hoping that enterprising folks in different countries will soon find ways to pair up everyday people to stay in touch by talking over Skype and seeing what they have in common. What to talk about? Let's find out. Living amongst people quite different from yourself has its challenges. Though it was never a goal for me to put myself in such situations, it happened. For one thing, my wife, Joan, changed her religious outlook about 10 years after we first became a couple. That is, after being an ex-Catholic and pretty compatible with my atheism, she returned to Catholicism with a renewed commitment. I was not ready for Catholicism in our house. It shook up our domestic harmony, especially as this happened in our first few years as parents. Besides my sorrow over the schism, was our challenge of how to raise our son. It was hard, and I needed counseling, which helped. Long story short, 30 years later, we are still a happy and functioning family. Much thanks to the power of accepting what you can't change and focusing on the richness of the common ground. Common ground is the special sauce of negotiating, peacemaking, and general mutual respect and coexistence. Well, what to do with the non-common ground? A certain amount of denial can work well. It's certainly more peaceful than unnecessary confrontation. It's sort of like being accepting. This is a lesson I had already learned as a Jewish kid from the Bronx, getting fascinated with bluegrass music and traveling south in the mid-1960s to partake of this great music at its source. With the racial and political divisions of the 60s, it felt more than adventurous, actually a bit daring, to drive 700 miles to Southwest Virginia, North Carolina, and places where Southern accents are just the way people talk. And the way I talk made me stick out. So I minded my manners, and thanks to close study of Flat and Scruggs records, I could fit in pretty well with my banjo. After jamming with folks I could barely see late one night in the campground and sleeping in my pup tent, how soul-warming it was to be offered some hot breakfast in the morning at their camper. My Yankee friends had similar experiences, and we distilled an important maxim: don't look at the bumper stickers in the parking lot. There's your denial. By age 30, I had established a career as a musician and music instruction author, and I left my Cornell sociology position and moved out here. And as a musician and a teacher, and as an atheist and a humanist who travels a lot, I continue to be exposed to some unfamiliar worlds, which I like. In 1986, I was asked to run for president of bluegrass music's new international trade organization, the IBMA. I won, and part of my job was to address the entire organization at our annual convention and represent bluegrass music in media interviews and such. My emphasis as president for 15 years was always big tent. I made a point of tending to both of the extreme ends of the bluegrass spectrum, traditional to progressive, bands with names ranging from the Bluegrass Patriots to the Lost City Mad Dogs from Japan. I supported the youngsters and the oldsters, both genders, and would make a point to take time with people from all parts of the country and from other countries and the few racial minorities that would show up at our conventions in Louisville, Kentucky, and Nashville. So there was the Yankee atheist in the heart of bluegrass land going for inclusiveness and celebrating with everyone the common ground of our wonderful music. I didn't actively conceal my being a Yankee atheist. It just never seemed to come up. I would sing along on gospel songs in jam sessions with no comment. Then it did come up. In 1989, Life magazine interviewed me for their issue called Finding God on Flight 232 about the tragic plane crash that I and my family had survived. And I said I doubted there's a loving supreme being or he would have saved the 112 victims of the horror. At the time of the article, I was up for re-election at IBMA, and I assumed I'd be dumped for a more God-fearing president. But they re-elected me that year and ensuing years with no comment. I even had some legendary bluegrass icons come up to me, look around, and quietly say, they dug what I said. It happens that in the last 2 years, the IBMA has started making inclusiveness a visible priority with openly gay speakers at our convention in North Carolina and an African-American keynote speaker. You can imagine how I feel about that. Part of my religious faith is agreement with the Theodore Parker statement that the arc of history bends toward justice and that love of truth, compassion, and enlightenment are right there on that arc. I hope I'm right, and I'm willing to keep working on it.
Have you ever tried to explain Unitarian Universalism to someone? Maybe she asks, what do you believe? Maybe he asks, you believe in God, don't you? Another says, the important thing really is to be working for social justice, isn't it? Well, you might answer, we UUs don't all believe the same thing. We believe it's important to what we believe. Your incredulous friends may wag their heads in confusion. You say, well, maybe a story will help. You probably know the story of the guru sitting at the top of the mountain and the seekers who climb that mountain to ask him the meaning of life. Well, we UUs don't really have any gurus, and we don't think anyone has the answer to the meaning of life for us, though some might have some good suggestions. So we have to change the story a little bit. UUs are like that. So perhaps this is a more accurate story for us. Once upon a time, there were seekers for love and compassion, justice, and wisdom. Someone had suggested that climbing the proverbial mountain of life was a good way to find love, compassion, justice, and wisdom. But they saw many paths going up the mountain. Many of these people weren't sure which path to follow. They followed one and then another, but they didn't seem to go anywhere. One person's childhood path was Jewish, but as a child, his rabbi wouldn't listen to his questions. He knew others could follow the Jewish path to good living, but after that rabbi as a child, he just couldn't. Another person's family was Lutheran, and she loved them, so she followed a Lutheran path. But on several Sundays, she heard her pastor condemn gays, lesbians, bisexuals, transgender people, and queers. She knew she couldn't follow that path. the paths of others to churches or synagogues where they had to believe certain dogmas that seemed meaningful to them, but the integrity of some prevented them from mouthing things they didn't believe. And many people had no particular religious background as a path as they grew up, but they wanted a path that would help them discover what was important in their lives and would support their best living. Some said, "I don't know much about religion, but I've had experiences in nature, music, and art that make my vision for my life clearer." So all these people set out on different paths up the mountain to the holy place. Perhaps this is some of what our stained glass ribbons suggest to us. They're different colors, different paths, they cross over each other, but they all keep going higher. As you use, we draw from many sources for our paths that have evolved over 1,500-year European and American history. We call our sources our living tradition because Unitarian Universalism is a dynamic religion that continues to evolve and grow with our culture and from new insights. As individuals, we each have different personalities, experiences, and gifts. Some of us draw on our direct experience of mystery and wonder on our path. Others are inspired on their path by the words and deeds of prophetic women and men of all time. Others follow a path of wisdom they find in the world's religions. Still others follow Jewish or Christian teachings that call us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Others follow the path of humanist teachings that counsel us to heed the guidance of reason and the results of science. And still others follow the path of earth-centered traditions that instruct us to live in harmony with the rhythms of nature. Many of us create our path out of several of these sources. I know Reverend Lydia, Reverend Penny, Pete, and I have each created our paths out of the sources that speak to our unique personalities, experiences, and gifts. My path actually draws on each of our UU sources, but the one that means most to me is from our transcendentalist history, that is, my direct experience of mystery and wonder. Well, you know the original story. All the paths do reach the top of the mountain, and lo and behold, there they find the truth, nirvana, enlightenment, a guru, the golden stone, or something. But the people who are UUs don't find any of these things, most likely. We never find the one and only answer. We do find a loving community as we continue in our paths of learning and loving right up to the time we die. We find a community of people who care for one another and strive to use their gifts to make a good life and a better world. We covenant to walk together. This community of people quotes 16th century Transylvanian Unitarian Francis David, who said, "You do not have to think alike to love alike." No matter what our labels are, believers in God, agnostics, atheists, mystics, humanists, we are united as Unitarian Universalists in believing in the inherent worth and dignity of each of us. Then these principles are reflected in the pictures around our sanctuary. We are united in believing justice, equity, and compassion are important in how we live our path. We believe in the free and responsible search for truth and meaning, no matter what our individual paths might look like. We believe in the right of conscience that compels us on our individual path. We work for peace and liberty and justice for all. We believe we each are a part of the great interdependent web of one another and of our earth. We believe we get further on our paths by learning from one another in community. Truly, we do not have to think alike to love alike.
Ever since an awkward and somewhat hurtful incident at a family reunion many years ago, my sister-in-law and I have had an unspoken truce not to talk about religion. She is a very conservative, born-again Christian, and I am, well, not. But when I began studying for the Unitarian Universalist ministry, it became impossible for her to ignore my religious path. At subsequent reunions, other family members would ask me about seminary, and then they would ask me about my ministry, and sometimes we would talk theology with one another. Kathy knew that I identified as a Unitarian Universalist Buddhist, but our nonverbal agreement not to talk about it persisted until a few years ago. We were alone together one afternoon, and admitting that she knew very little about Buddhism, she asked me to tell her about it. And so I did, at least as much as I could in the hour or so before dinner. She seemed genuinely interested and respectful, but also quite puzzled. And at one point she asked me, "But what about God?" As I explained that Buddhism is a non-theistic religion, and her puzzlement turned to alarm, she asked how I could possibly not believe in God. Well, I was not trying to convince her to change her beliefs, and I did not want to get into a long academic theology discussion. So I simply said, "My experience of the world only makes sense to me if there isn't a God like the one you believe in." "My experience," she replied, "only makes sense if there is." We had reached deep into our hearts and had found common ground. Our respective and very different religious beliefs had grown from the seeds of our very different experiences of the world. There was no argument to be had anymore, no explanations left to offer, no debate, no animosity, only respect and love. Our unspoken truce became a lasting peace. Each of us here this morning has been brought here by our own set of experiences. We come to Sunday morning services, Monday and Tuesday evening committee meetings, Wednesday choir practice. We meet at vigils and marches and workshops. We gather for lunches and dinners and coffee and parties. We give of our time and our money. We take meals, send cards, and listen to those in need. We care for one another, and we know we will be cared for. We do these things because here we have found and here we are making a beloved community where we have opportunities to grow and to develop and to stretch and to risk. Because in this religious community, we are connected to one another, not by all believing the same things, but by our covenant to walk together in the ways of love. Our Unitarian Universalist principles express the ways we choose to be together, to treat each other, and to make a difference in the world. And we each come to those aspirations through different experiences. And we can affirm and promote these principles based on beliefs and practices from all of our many sources. As a matter of fact, I think that most religious liberals could and do agree with our seven principles. What makes us unique is our religious pluralism. Any one of us, individual you use, might find one of our sources most relevant, but collectively, we do not count any source as supreme. Though I do find it meaningful that the first source listed is direct experience, because it is through each of our own unique experiences, just as I discovered with my sister-in-law, that we process all of the other sources of wisdom, adopting some and not others. My personal beliefs and the teachings and practices that are meaningful to me have changed over the, probably many times, over the 28 years that I've belonged to this fellowship. And I am forever grateful that it has always been a place where I am welcome. You are my people. If you are a UU Christian, we are your people. If you are a UU humanist, we are your people. Or a so-called non-hyphenated UU, who does not prefer one source over the others. The same goes for all who gather here with an open heart and mind. Even if you are the only one with your particular beliefs, even if sometimes the words and rituals, the songs and silences are not what you would choose, we share the common ground of following our unique religious paths that make sense of our unique experience in the world, and the covenant to walk together in the ways of love. We are your people. We are asked here to balance our individual religious preferences with those among us whose experience may be different. And if we can do this here in our fellowship, we can model it for others in the world, a world so in need of respect for differences. The promise of Unitarian Universalist pluralism is that if you are willing to do that, we are your people. You belong here. May it be so.